My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Time Radio. This time we're continuing our Resident Evil coverage, talking about Resident Evil 3, which I think is Extinction. As is tradition, we have Brandon here. Hello, Brandon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello.
Yeah. And let's go around and talk about this a little bit. I'll go first. So I'm on record as saying that this is the best Resident Evil, or at least the Resident Evil where the series started to get good. You know what? I stand by that. This movie is really fucking stupid, both in generalities and in particulars, but it was significantly more entertaining to me than the first two. Basically everything in it is dumb in some way, and I had a whale of a time watching it. I went in a very bad mood, and by the time of it, I was smiling and laughing my head off. So what more do you want out of a stupid movie than that? Ronald?
Oh, yeah, this movie is the worst one so far, in my very correct opinion. just kidding, but I don't know. I had optimism when I went into this movie thinking like, oh, you know what? Maybe Lawrence is right. Maybe this will be dumb fun. And it honestly starts off pretty good. And by pretty good, I mean it's like really stupid, but pretty entertaining. But I think that there's like a good 45 minutes to an hour in the middle there where I just got really bored and spaced out and had trouble following anything because I thought it was just inconsequential. And then it turned out to be inconsequential. So I guess some of the characters may stick around, but nothing of what they did was interesting or useful or made any kind of progress in the plot. I don't know. We'll get to that later. But no, I think it was bad.
Rahul, what did you think?
This movie was incredible, and I recommend it wholeheartedly. Sequences were so clean. You could see like everything, you know. Plot, that was just like a masterpiece of a plot.
Yeah, just a masterclass in writing.
Yeah,
here.
And you know the desert.
Not
game,
a wasted
it really
minute.
Does it for me. And Wesker, oh my God, Wesker. Let's
sheer charisma. It's great that they never recast it multiple times and no one noticed.
You know, I really, you know, for some reason, I kept thinking Wesker was Eminem. It might have just been me, but
don't look or sound at all alike.
Yeah, I guess he kind of looks like Eminem a little.
Was it just the sunglasses?
I think it was. Just that, this, like sunglasses.
I mean, come
hair,
on,
bro. White guy look.
I think the only explanation is that white people all look the same to Rahul.
Yeah, you know what? That's fair.
That's fair.
Yep. So that's
it. I challenge anyone to watch the first Divergent movie and not get confused between the three white guys in that movie, because I watched that and I kept getting confused who was who.
Did I watch that with, because that happened with me and you for another movie as well. It was either Divergent or Battleship.
Why were like, you guys watching Divergent, a movie marketed at teenage girls?
Because we are teenage.
Have you seen us?
Grill.
We keep up with trends, bro.
Trendy! Yeah, I don't remember anyway. where we're at with this, but it's Brandon's turn now.
So, do you want to, like, not be ironic for a sec or just keep going?
No, I'm serious. I totally recommend it for all
okay.
the reasons.
Okay.
Did you not Brandon. Hear his glowing review? Anyways, I mean, I guess I expected to go... I think this might be a movie about expectations, because I expected to go into it more having Ronald's experience. Like, this is where the series takes like a hard downward turn. But I thought it was pretty fun. But I think that has a lot to do with the fact that I was doing other things like for most of the time I was watching it.
So I basically just focus
on the interesting, exciting parts and all the parts that like don't make sense. I'm just like, yeah, whatever, that's fine. I expect that. So I'd say it has some really cool scenes. but it's definitely, I mean, I don't know. I'd say it's on par with the second one is where I'd put it. It's good, and it's like a lukewarm recommendation. It's entertaining.
The series hasn't taken like a sharp downturn.
No, yeah, that's still to come. Don't worry.
We know it's coming.
Oh yeah,
it's gonna get worse.
Yeah.
This is why I say that this is the high point, because this is like, it's really stupid, but they've still got like a big enough budget that they can be stupid on a grand scale.
Yeah, this is the point of inflection for the franchise. Well, yeah, I don't remember four, but I assume it.
Four is the one where they're stuck in the prison.
Oh, God. Then this is the point of inflection.
And then five is the one where there are all the clones and they bring everyone back. And then six is the one where it turns out that like every character was a secret clone or some shit.
Oh, God, there's six of them?
I was looking.
I thought we only had two more.
I was trying to read through the plot summary of the sixth movie to like, am I right that Alice is a clone? And it's like, yeah, I am.
Spoilers, dude.
Yeah, apparently she's the clone of a dead scientist's daughter that they created the T-virus to try to cure. Try reconciling that with anything else that happened in the series.
Why did they make her a security guard then? Dangerous job.
Or why did they make her a traitorous security guard? That's the real question.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, let's do the summary. What do you guys think?
Yeah, sure. I don't want to do it though.
Okay. Does anyone else want to be excluded?
I'm good.
We should exclude Brandon because he always does them.
I'm going to just throw this out there. I'd be pretty cool just summarizing this shit.
But your summaries are good. Maybe I should do it.
I mean, they're not always.
You should definitely include Brandon.
Okay, sure.
Brandon summaries.
Let's just make it Brandon.
We're going to do 1, 2, me, 3, 4, the Look. Neanderthal, 5, 6, Brandon.
Here's the reason I say we include Brandon. His brain is the least broken of all of us. He remembers what happens.
But is that really a positive thing?
well,
when it comes to remembering what happened,
we'll find out.
Well, it's me. So let's give me 2 minutes. How's that sound?
I can give you 2 minutes on the clock, my friend.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
We start with what seems to be a highly compressed version of the first one, where Alice wakes up, is totally nude, but you don't see anything. She puts on a red dress and starts navigating a mansion full of death traps, laser hallway, all this shit. She makes it almost the exit, but then dies. And then Ian Glenn is like, oh man, she was so close. They wheel her corpse out and dump her in a trench of dead Alice's because it turns out that she's a clone. Then we get a voiceover where it turns out that we've been wrong all these years and the T-virus didn't drink the oceans. It really drank all of the fresh water and turned most continents into desert. Alice is wandering the wasteland, kind of just looking for unclear what, while dodging umbrella satellites. She fights some zombies. She runs into and then we cut to a convoy run by Ali Larder and Oded Fair, and we're like, wow, those guys are so fucking hot. There's a bunch of bullshit where like a black dude, the black dude from the last one, whose name I really wish I could remember, gets bitten by a zombie hooker on the nipple, and then they're like zombie birds attack, and Alice has to go fight the zombie birds using her psychic powers. It turns out Umbrella can somehow track psychic powers from satellites in space, which that's really weird. They go to Las Vegas to try to fuel up before making a trip to a safe haven that Alice has found in Alaska. Ian Glenn, who for some reason they told him to domesticate zombies, Umbrella did, but instead he's been making super zombies, unleashes his super zombies on them. Alice manages to fight them after the Umbrella Corporation briefly mind controls her with a satellite. Basically everyone dies, except for Alice and Ali Larder. They launch a suicide attack on the Umbrella Corporation's like local headquarters, and everyone but Alice steals a helicopter and heads for Alaska, which raises a fucking question, because I looked it up and the maximum range on a helicopter is 1,000 miles, and it's much farther to Alaska than 1,000 miles from Nevada. Alice goes down into the hive and meets the Red Queen's sister, I think, who's not evil and who makes her fight Ian Glenn, who's turned into a monster at this point because he got bit by a super zombie, so he had to inject himself with a bunch of antivirus and it turned him into a monster. And she kills him with a laser hallway and is about to die herself. But then one of the Alice clones, which Ian Glenn apparently has thousands of them, stops the lasers from killing her. And so she wakes up all the Alice clones and vows to go wipe out the Umbrella Corporation, including Albert Wesker, who in this is just kind of a weirdly chunky, but I'm sure super fit white guy in sunglasses. Anyways, and that's the movie.
Yep.
Wesker is actually the same actor from 2025, just FYI.
I mean, he's not, because he can't speak fluent English, which is not that good.
He's not a great actor, but he is so far beyond the 2025 guy.
Let me put it like this. He's not a great actor, but he is an actor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
It's like clears the bar by like 20 miles.
Anyways, let's get to some high points, I guess. Yeah.
High point? All right. I will say... the Mad Max desert theme, I was joking earlier, but it was like a fake joke that was a real sentiment.
So you were being sarcastic about a compliment that you were actually sincere about.
Yeah. I'm afraid so. It sounds stupid when you say it.
I'm afraid so.
Cut all that. But anyway.
Yeah, cut that out. We can edit that, right? We'll fix it in post.
I like the, you know, I don't know if it was a homage to Mad Max, but I like the driving through the desert.
It is 100% just a Mad Max ripoff.
It kind of is, right? Because literally in Mad Max, they have a school bus and they have like tanks of gas.
I don't think it was as much a homage as it was just
a ripoff.
They, you know, he thought it was cool, and so he just included it in his movie.
Except he found a way of making it stupider. That's like every movie scene this movie is a reference to something in another movie that the person who wrote or directed this liked and made dumber.
Yeah, but they're not references. They're just stolen. It's like
they didn't have them all talking about worshiping Chrome or something.
Yeah. Well, that hadn't happened yet, or they would have.
But they should have.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm searching.
You like the desert? You like the desert?
I like that. I just like the idea of a convoy through the desert. Does it for me?
Yeah. I will go a step further and say I think that the thing that Paul W.S. Anderson does best is he has images in mind, really interesting and distinct images in mind for different parts of the movie.
Now,
I think he has trouble connecting those images, but I think if you took like 12 stills across this movie, you'd be like, wow, that looks incredible. It looks like it's going to be a really great movie. I'm hyped to see it.
Now, I'm going to contradict you a little bit here, Ronald.
Okay.
Because Paul W.S. Anderson did not actually direct this movie. It was instead, he wrote it and produced it, but it was instead directed by Russell Mulcahy, an Australian director who actually made the amazing film Razorback and then also directed Highlander and Highlander 2: The Quickening. So,
those are directed by the same people.
No way.
Yeah. So he made two good movies, and then it appears to be nothing but shit, unless you really like 1994's The Shadow for some reason. Oh, he made Teen Wolf. He's making Teen Wolf the movie in 2023, which is a fascinating title for a, you know, film, because Teen Wolf was already a movie.
Well, it's probably a remake.
Well, it's actually a continuation of the MTV series, Teen Wolf. Anyways... this guy has had a really weird career, but Razorback is a great movie. But anyways, yeah, that is one of the things the images here are pretty strong. And I assume that Paul W. Sanderson, because these do films do weirdly have a pretty unified aesthetic, despite different directors, is probably the reason for that. I was just being a dick.
No, I actually didn't realize that's a good note. I actually did not realize he didn't direct this one.
It is pretty weird that this was made by the same guy who made Highlander. You know, it's less weird that it was made by the same guy who made Highlander 2. But Highlander is a good movie.
You know, though, I will say, I remember distinct images from The Quickening. Like, it has some pretty interesting set pieces. The movie's terrible, but it does have some pretty interesting images.
Yeah, like when they're wandering through, like, the gritty city, right? And, like, the sky is the alien mothership. I don't remember that. I don't remember the alien mothership. Yeah,
well, that's like the main plot of the movie.
I don't remember. I thought the killing a big alien. Totally, like, blacked out for some reason.
Wait, does this mean that Rahul has finally finished Highlander?
You know, I don't remember if I probably did finish it. I'm not going to
lie. Rahul recommended Highlander like 6 months ago and apparently still hasn't finished it.
He recommended it, but he was only like 30 minutes in.
Powerful mindset on this boot, man. Anyways, let's get to some more high points, I guess. I got one, which is Ian Glenn in this is actually pretty good for what he's doing. Like, it's just this weird, like, sinister scientist. In particular, there's one scene where he's trying to make a tame zombie because whoever wrote this had seen Day of the Dead. So there's the scene where they inject a zombie with smart juice, I guess. And then they first handed a cell phone, and it pops the cell phone open because this was made in 2007, where so flip phones were all the rage. Then they handed a digital camera, and it starts taking pictures. And then they have it do that game where you put shapes through holes, which is such a strange order of operations. I figured out the zombie is smart.
Yeah, it's like, I thought at first they were testing whether or not it remembered what it was like to be human. But then the last one is just like a basic level of intelligence.
But anyways, like, then the zombie gets frustrated, breaks the flimsy chains that they have holding it back, and starts eating the two scientists. And I and Glenn just kind of steps back calmly back out of the room and watches impassively as these two men get eaten alive. And you know what? That's pretty good evil scientist.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Anyways, anyone else got a high point?
Hard to think of high points.
I mean, I really liked the crow scene.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And
wait. Which part of the crow scene?
The roasting.
Okay, dude, just the one second.
Just the fireball. Yeah.
Or that thing.
I mean, I also like them bashing into the school bus windshield.
Oh yeah, that part is legit intense. Incredible. Yeah,
that's
like,
good.
The effects work there, like, because the crows are moving so fast, you can't tell that they're bad CGI. And them just, like, pouring through that, like, into this armored, like, school bus's windshield, like a fire hose to, like, knock it back so they can get in and eat everyone is pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, though, guys. This is another shameless ripoff from The Birds, which I watched not that long ago.
Okay, but
at least this was somewhat well done. In the movie, but I just want you to know that the director did not have an original idea.
These two little parts of it were well done, but the overall bird arc was awful.
Well, the writing.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, the birds are so choosy in who they attack, and they're shooting at the birds, and it's like, you know, cut between bird, cut between person, cut between gun, shooting at bird. It's just ridiculous.
There was one part where
they're hiding from the birds under the car. It's like, oh my god. Come on.
One of the guys was like getting on board a bus and there's like a million birds flying around him and he has like a pistol and he shoots like two shots into the air. It's like, what? How would that help?
Yeah, it's also just kind of weird how they seem to be like retaining their intelligence if they're like sort of half zombified. Like they say that they've been feeding on infected flesh, not really like implying that they're not infected, that they're not zombies, but they're like, so they're like super powerful, but they still retain intelligence. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And can fly.
My counterpoint on all of this is that there's an extended sequence where they're roasting zombie crows with a truck mounted flamethrower. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that
could have been cool.
I'm going to go into a low point though. They fry a bunch of birds with a big flame in the sky. And nobody says like, who wants fried chicken? Just really drop that one on the floor.
Yeah,
there right
was a
there.
Prime to quote opportunity.
Yeah, I also
you know, it kind of counterbalanced all that good stuff.
Yeah, the guy up there should have been like crow around or something.
That's you got it, Raul.
Thank you. I could be directed this movie.
Perfect.
I have another high point, which is that there is a scene where they're trying to fight the super zombies. And now, first of all, I know you're like, the super zombies, that sounds cool. What are they? And they're just kind of regular zombies, except with less makeup and wearing jumpsuits. So that's a little disappointing. You'd expect them to, like, I don't know, give them some claws or something.
They ran out of budget for that part.
Well, I think it might just be that the stuntmen, like, worked better in lighter makeup, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, but then Alice is fighting them and she just whips out two cookeries for some reason, which weird, you know, not the most common of blade, and just starts going sick house on him and like doing flips and shit. And the action could be better because it's a lot of like, you know, just we show the stunt, we cut away, we show another stunt, we cut away instead of like doing a flow. But I still appreciate a hot woman whipping out Tibetan knives and hacking apart the undead.
So I'm going to do a Ronald, and my low point.
That's what I'm known for now?
Yeah.
My low point for your high point was I don't think she severed the brainstem of anyone she attacked.
That was going to be what I was going to say.
Yeah, right? As much bullshit.
She
like,
kept going for gut shots. Like, right? What?
Or slitting their throats, which it does not seem would work on something that's heart is no longer beating. Yeah, yes.
Like, come on. We've established that you have to sever the brainstem. And, okay.
This movie is so inconsistent with everything. It's just like, at that point, I was just like, whatever. I don't care. Just in the movie, please.
Was that before so was kinda... or after she, this was the high point, actually. The technologically accurate depiction of fighting a satellite signal.
With your mind.
Where you use your psychic powers to destroy the chip. Yep.
Yeah. Also, they have control over her mind with satellites, but they don't have like a location device.
Seems like they should have put a GPS beacon in her. That's less hard than satellites that can track psychic powers, I think. They say that they tracked a spike in alpha and gamma waves, which I believe are literally brain waves. So they're somehow giving her like an encephalogram thing from space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're like, yeah, they're measuring it from space. I don't think they're like reading a chip in her brain.
Yeah.
Because the guy seems to be confused on where it's coming from at first.
Yeah,
but then all that happens is Isaacs has to be like, all right, triangulate it, and they're good again. So maybe they just needed him to be like, give them the order to triangulate.
Oh yeah, I forgot that's a thing. Let's do that.
Oh, you want me to use these tracking satellites to track?
Oh!
Egg on my face, guys. This one's all me.
Oh, God. Here's another high point. While Jason Isaacs was not in this movie as Dr. Isaacs, they seem to have taken his name for the name of the character. And Jason Isaacs rules. So that's about as much praise as I have.
That's the high point?
Yeah, that's the high point. Also, Ashanti's in this, and she is extremely hot, but a terrible actor. So that's like a high point, kind of.
Well, I mean, and also she dies pretty quick, so you get to look at her for a little bit. She does some pretty shitty innuendo with a dude, and then she dies horribly.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I will say for a legitimate high point, a scene that stuck with me was when the convoy is in the desert and they're like shaking the cans. This must be from some other movie, but it's like a good scene, you know, like they have nothing pretty much and like they're making the best of it. I always remember that scene for some reason, the whole shaking the can and knowing what's in it. Nice. Well done.
Yeah.
Let's see what else I got.
I have a high point.
Oh, hit me, Brandon.
So, the cowboy guy climbs up on the Eiffel Tower in Vegas, and he's going to be like giving them cover. And then when the zombies are released, one of the girls, I think, he's helping her climb up on the tower to get away. But other zombies just are also climbing up on the tower, and they come up behind him. They like get him and bite him, and she's still climbing up, and he's like, go run, don't worry about me, and she doesn't even fucking look at him. She's already like climbing away. Like, yeah, don't worry. Yeah. I wasn't going to.
Yeah, like I gave up on you like before I was even here.
So I have a high point. Right. Now, you guys, this is not me being, you know, sarcastic, but at one point, I and Glenn, who at this point, his research has destroyed the Earth's biosphere and killed basically everyone on the planet to the point where the people remaining are, you know, a rounding error, you know, says, my research will change the face of everything. And you know what? It's great to have really, really high goals. Wait, hold up. No reason.
It wasn't his research originally. It was that dude who died in the first movie who was trying to cure his daughter.
Right.
Go to hell, Rahul.
I mean, he was trying to cure it, and from what we saw, he did actually pretty good job with that one zombie.
No, that zombie lost his shit and murdered.
Yeah, but I mean, before it was really good. You know, like I feel like you could build on.
He's getting there.
That's pretty good. Like,
it's fine as long as you inject them every 30 seconds, but also if you inject them too much, they do mutate.
Well, I assume it's an iterative process. It's not like binary, like, well, we got this or we got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty damn good, I would say. Like, it's like curing
better than nothing
with a shot after you've already gotten it.
Yeah.
If you can aerosolize it and just like spray it over every city.
I think it does later turn out that Umbrella just has a cure for zombism, but they're not releasing it yet because they've still got a stupid plan.
Yeah, but that's like retconning for sure.
Oh yeah, 100%. There's nothing in any movie before the last one to indicate that Alice is a clone. Yeah. Let's see. So I've got a couple of rapid fire high points for you. First off, I think it's really funny that what's his face got his nipple bit off by a zombie hooker. I just think that's funny.
Yeah.
The Trench of Dead Alices is legitimately a very cool image. Just all of these corpses wearing the same dress. For some reason, none of them have rotted. What else? I really like visual storytelling. So I appreciated that when they used the mind control satellite on Alice, for some reason, her pupils and iris briefly turned into the Umbrella logo so that you know she's getting mind controlled. It's really
cool.
I'm
glad that they installed that part so that you know?
Yeah.
They installed the extra contact lenses in her or whatever. I don't know what the fuck they installed.
It's unclear what process could possibly cause this, but clearly something does.
Is she a robot? I honestly don't know.
No.
If she's a robot, they really shouldn't be trying to get her DNA.
Umbrella is super against robots for some reason.
I mean, it does seem like some robots could help them with at least some of these problems.
Also, I feel like they could almost just ask Alice for her blood to cure the T-Rex.
Yeah, I mean, real talk, if I and Glenn had just come up to them instead of doing all this weird hyper-zombie shit and just gone, hey, I think I can cure zombism if you give me some of your blood. I mean, she might be mistrustful of him because he's an Umbrella scientist, but I think she might at least hear him out.
Well, and it's like, what's the harm in giving like a pint of blood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
None, really.
I mean, except it's Umbrella, so, you know.
So they'd probably use it to like turn her into a super zombie.
Or maybe, yes.
You're right. Actually, there would be a lot of harm. Don't give Umbrella your blood, kids.
Don't interact with Umbrella in any way.
Yeah. They've never done anything positive for anyone.
Well, they made a lot of money.
But yeah, they're privately held, so that doesn't even benefit that many
people.
They're
privately held? Oh, shit.
I think so. Do you think that Wesker could survive a fucking vote? Hey, our CEO is this weird guy who never takes his sunglasses off and has a bunch of tentacles.
Like, it's like, imagine going to a board meeting and one of the guys is wearing sunglasses in a dark room underground. Like,
and a trench coat. What are you doing?
What?
And a trench coat. It's just like, oh, it's Neo over here. Great.
I'd be like, this dude is so cool. He should like, definitely be in charge.
They had definitely watched The Matrix and they were like, we need Neo in the movie.
Possibly
man.
Equilibrium at the same time.
You know, I don't know if the timeline works, but this, I do think that Paul W.S. Anderson is kind of a big enough hack and kind of that specific kind of dumb guy that he would rip off the Equilibrium.
I mean, definitely post.
They should have had Goncata in this movie. That would have been awesome, you know?
I mean, there is a movie where Mila Jovovich does Goncata. It's called Ultraviolet, and it's regarded as one of the stupidest and worst movies to ever like exist, so I'm probably gonna make us watch it.
I can't imagine that Paul W.S. Anderson's take on Goncata would be good.
I would watch it. It's just
well, he didn't direct Ultraviolet though, right?
No.
Yeah.
No. It's a movie that's trying so hard to be Resident Evil and can't. Think about that for a second.
Really?
I don't really want to watch. Oh, I don't think shit. I want to watch it. I'm skipping that week.
Anyway, I do have some. So another thing.
Let's
it's
do
really...
low points. Let's get the low points.
Okay, one last genuine high point.
Typical Ronald with the low points.
No. One last legitimate high point. A thing I complained about on the first movie is that they killed off so many people that they couldn't show the zombies as a threat because they didn't have enough people for them to kill. These zombies, like, there's multiple like scenes where just basically everyone gets fucking massacred by zombies. You can't walk away from this movie thinking that the zombies aren't a threat. And you know what? They course corrected from the first one, and that deserves, you know, praise.
Yeah.
Anyways,
they're more, definitely more aggressive, mobile, a little bit smarter zombies.
I have a counterpoint for that. There's the facility that Ian Glenn is in is guarded by a 5-foot chain link fence that it looks like I could easily hop over. Like, not even zombie strength climb over.
Yeah.
Like, I think I could just like like pretty easily hop over it.
Well, and they're dumping just... the fucking owl's bodies outside, and zombies like eating.
They're dumping them inside the fence, and I guess the fence, could, you know,
right? That's what I mean. Like
sometimes the zombies are strong enough to like rip metal off of like the bus, and sometimes they can't get through a chain.
Fucking
fence,
crows did some damage.
Teenagers do all the time.
Let alone Rahul can't tell the difference between a crow and a person. Interesting.
Anyway.
Anyone else have high points? Okay.
So in the end, when they do the what's his name? Ramirez? Odin Fair does a suicide run to clear a path for them to get in. It seems like they're like in the perimeter and they just stop worrying about zombies, but that doesn't make any sense, right? Didn't he just drive through it?
I think that they're hopping on the helicopter quick enough that they can get away before the zombies come in, because they wiped out most of them with the explosion, which for some reason does appear to be a small nuclear blast.
Maybe zombies are like moths, where they're attracted to light sources.
That's the only explanation, because like there's still zombies living. They would have attacked them, but they're just like puttering around.
Well, they can't smell anymore because there's so much smoke in
Look, if they attacked, it would break the plot. Do you want the plot to get broken, Rahul?
I don't.
Is that what you fucking want?
Yeah, sorry,
Lord, I didn't mean it.
Yeah. Anyways, I have a low point I'd like to start with.
Okay.
So at one point, Alice goes into a gas station, and there's a sign in the back that says, free chili and cheese with your nachos or hot dog, which implies that this is the kind of horrible nightmare world where you go in and buy nachos in most places, and they don't give you cheese, which, what the fuck? Why else would they have to advertise that you get free cheese with your nacho?
I thought you were vegan, so...
Maybe, but I still believe very strongly that a nacho comes with cheese, and if they sell you nachos without cheese, it's just chips.
What about just nachos with jalapenos? Would you call those nachos?
No, that's just jalapenos on chips. What the fuck are you talking
about?
I'm
calling them nachos.
What if it has sour cream and guacamole and...
I mean, that's just a fucking dip, you idiot.
That sounds pretty good.
I mean, yes, but it's not nachos.
I think Lawrence is the wrong here.
Goddamn idiots.
Dude, we should...
You guys want to go get nachos?
You walk out of the grocery store holding a bag of Tostitos? Wow, so many nachos and only $2. Incredible. Anyone have, like, real serious low points? Like, the plot and the acting
like the end with the okay, so Alice is fighting morphed Isaacs, who's the super boss monster of the movie, and she stabs him in the shoulder and he's staggered and runs away, and I'm like, bro, like he just took out the entire facility by himself, and being stabbed in the shoulder staggers him and makes him run away? That's ludicrous.
My counterpoint is that I think that there's only 5 people in this facility.
You might.
It's not hard to wipe out.
He killed most of them by like throwing them to the zombies.
Yeah,
before
fair enough.
He was even zombified.
Maybe there's no one left.
Lordy, lordy.
But one of my low points is that the guy that gets bit by the hooker, he takes like 2+ days to transform. And he has like no symptoms right up until the, you know, convenient time that he transforms when he's alone in the car with the teenage girl during the whole crow thing.
Yeah.
And that just was like, felt kind of silly. Like, I feel like the bite, particularly in the first movie when Michelle Rodriguez gets bit, like that's a really impactful thing. Like, she's losing blood and she's like having trouble like concentrating and she can't walk. And it's like a matter of, it's like, less than 2 hours, I think.
Yeah, and even that one I felt was drawn out. But yeah.
Yeah, cool. Potentially. And this is just like, he's just fine for like 2 days and nobody notices.
I was like,
and then just snap your fingers and now he's a zombie.
Yeah, for a while I was like, did I imagine he got bit? Because he got bit in front of Oliveira too. And Oliveira just seemed to kind of give him a nod. And I was like, did he see the bite? Or
yeah, like they didn't really like think that they needed to check him out. Or anything. They're just like, oh yeah, he'd tell us. Totally.
Right.
Yeah, like, a zombie just was on top of him. He's probably him. Good. There's no reason to check anything.
I don't see any blood, so
So at one point, Ian Glen is attempting to manipulate Wesker. For some reason, is like, I know you've got this really, really good way of maybe curing the T virus, but I forbid you from doing that until we have a board meeting. Which weird, but so Ian Glen really wants to go out and get Alice so that he can, you know, cure zombism. And so he records Wesker saying, you're absolutely not allowed to do this. And then somehow edits it into him saying, you're allowed to do this. But it's the worst voice edit you've ever heard. It like, really is. I authorize you to go immediately. And, like, and then he apparently just played this weird recording to people. And they gave him like a bunch of super zombies and guys with guns and helicopters and shit.
That checks out. You know, and the stupid part is they could have easily just made him record the line again and had it like, you know.
Yeah, he's using a supercomputer and shit.
Yeah, mess with it a tiny amount so that it was obvious to the audience, but like, you know, sounds believable enough. But it's like, why did he not just show up for this meeting? Why did he send this really shitty, strange voice message that's only to you? Is this a voicemail? I don't understand why you have this recorded.
It's like an MP3 in an email to the armory guy.
You know what? I'll just call him real quick. He's pretty responsive.
He runs back to his lab and quickly adds another one saying, do not call me about this.
That's an order for some reason.
Good stuff.
Oh, another one. So Alice, she goes to a gas station and she finds a person that has hung themselves, and then she finds that and is rotted horribly. Then she finds that person's journal, which is full of like all this notes about a safe haven in Alaska. My low points are two. One, she's leafing through it and there's just a map where the entirety of Alaska is circled. That's where the safe haven is.
It's like the largest landmass in the continental United States. Good luck.
And then the second part is that this person apparently killed themselves, which makes me really question whether or not they actually like knew or believed about this safe place, or else they probably, you know, wouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay. And also, that part, she walks in and there's like flies everywhere and she's like, oh, and she like moves back. And then for some reason, the book falls. And she sees something. She sees like two letters in it, two words in it all written big. And she's like, oh, I got to get that weird thing that just fell off the gross dead body. And it's like, why do you need that? Why? What are you looking for here? What do you expect to find on a person who hung themselves? I don't know.
Maybe like a diary?
A diary, yeah, about...
that's what it was.
Or a suicide note, really. It sort of seems like there should be a suicide note.
Yeah. And I would imagine that she would have written it in there, but she didn't.
Yeah. Or if she did, we don't see it. Maybe at the end she's like, I'm killing myself because I don't think I can make it to Alaska.
Actually, all right, yeah. I have a low point.
Suicide is badass.
Nope, that's wrong. Nothing's more badass than being alive, Ronald.
Yeah, adding psychic powers to Alice and is... And the evil Isaacs is just, I think, so stupid. So
did he have psychic powers?
He did. He did. He,
yeah, he was like fighting.
He blasted her back.
I thought that was just him shouting really loud.
But that doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make any more sense.
He has a thumb.
I mean, that'd be a move in a video game. I don't know. This is a movie based on a video game. That's something you can do in a video game.
They established that Alice T-Virus has psychic powers. It stands to reason that what he used was also psychic powers.
It stands to reason. As if
except none of the zombies.
The reason that he was mutating so fast is that he was bitten by a zombie that was treated with a serum made from her blood. So it's sort of like it loops back to him that way.
But it wasn't actually her blood. It was, they were like trying to hone in on her genetic code. But yeah.
Well, it was her clone's blood.
But okay, we'll get into this in a sec. I don't want to interrupt you guys talking about him, how stupid it is to everyone in this.
I just don't think it's there's a point to adding psychic powers. I don't feel like it adds anything to any of the zombie stuff, or even the Alice as a character.
Yeah, but remember when she controlled all the fire and killed the crows?
That was actually, I mean, that scene of her like standing up and all that smoke in the background.
She didn't. That wasn't necessary, right? She could have come in with like a bomb and like improvised something. Like, I just don't know what the point is of giving him.
He's not MacGyver, bro.
He's just, she's just scary.
A simple super soldier with powers.
Like, just what you're saying is ludicrous.
It's just getting like more and more divorced from any, like, I know it just gets crazier and crazier, I guess, and I just don't see the reason for sprinkling the crazy on it.
Okay, I have a serious question about the whole psychic powers thing. Have they said any reason why Alice has psychic powers?
I mean, she's been through two separate rounds of Umbrella Corporation genetically engineered super soldier shit. So I guess they just threw him in at the end. I don't fucking know.
Has she been through?
Yeah, she got at the end of the first one, they do some weird shit to her to make her super. And then at the end of the second one, they do even more weird shit to make her super.
What did they do at the end of the second one?
So they make her more super in the first, at the end of the first one? I thought they were just like, that was, she wasn't there long enough, and that was like rehabilitation.
I mean, she wakes up.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
And when she wakes up in something that where it looks like they've done surgery to her, and also like they've had enough time to reopen the hive and for Raccoon City to collapse, which I guess did seem to happen pretty quick, but still. I don't know. She's been through at least one round of Umbrella's trying to make her a super soldier. I'm comfortable
from
with
the fandom. It looks
powers.
Like you're right. It says it was revealed that Isaac's reanimated. The fucking thing just moved for an ad, but it says Isaac's reanimated her and gave her a special T-virus serum that gave her telekinetic abilities.
I mean, the real question I have is why they keep giving this woman who hates them and tries to overthrow them more and more superpowers. But whatever.
Also, why does Isaac just inject random people with random serums?
Maybe this is where the clone thing does come in, because he's like, oh, there's that clone of the chairman's daughter or whatever the fuck. I better make her better by treating her as a guinea pig for this experimental virus thing.
Wait. What the chairman's daughter?
I don't fucking know.
That
she's a clone
that hasn't
of someone
happened
important.
Yet. He's referencing something in one of the later movies.
Oh,
in the
okay.
last movie. Yeah. Anyways, I'm trying to think what else I got.
I have another. I don't know if it's a low point, but it's definitely like a plot question. Okay. So at the end, the way Isaac is killed is they end up in that replica of the laser hallway from the hive, and like Alice knows that it's going to turn on and kill them. And it does, but then it just kills Isaac's and it stops short of her. And then the camera switches and it's like the clone Alice that had woken up during their fight seemingly turned it off right before it hit her. But that doesn't make any sense, because before going down into the lower levels to fight Isaac, she was supposedly making a deal with the Red Queen's sister, who I'm going to call the White Queen because she's more white.
I think that is actually her name.
Okay. So she makes a deal with her. Like, she explains that a cure could be synthesized from her blood and all the equipment's in the lab. You just need to get rid of Isaac so we can do this. So like, why wouldn't the White Queen have done exactly that? Like, why are they saying that it was the clone that either helped or saved Alice? And then like also the ending, they just seem to throw that away. Like, oh, well, Alice isn't going to do that. She's actually just going to go after the Umbrella board of directors with all her clones.
Like, it does kind of seem like this movie doesn't have object permanence.
The writers forgot about the White Queen as soon as she went off camera.
Exactly. They couldn't
and,
see her, so she ceased to exist.
I mean, maybe didn't have control over. Maybe they were like, all right, last time having the Red Queen control over the laser hallway didn't work, so they cut the cord. And they're like, all right, forget it. You don't get
the
laser hallway
thing
anymore.
Every time.
Now it's manual.
it's a hard coded program.
Fucking dope.
Yeah.
It's just a button to turn it off.
Yeah.
That's it.
I don't know why it's still here, but
so they can keep testing the Alice clones
and cut off parts of her shoes, I guess.
Okay, yeah. So I want to run through what I think is happening with these Alice clones.
Okay.
Right. So what, based on what Dr. Isaac says, I think it's that they don't have a perfect copy of Alice's DNA. So they keep making versions of her with like very slight variations to try to find one that's correct. And the way that they'll know it's correct is that they can successfully navigate this obstacle course, which is stupid.
But that obstacle course is so ridiculous. Like,
yes,
it's like a saw trap, but like times 10.
Yeah. They need a balance patch on that one.
Yeah, for real.
And also, apparently, her genetic engineering somehow includes giving her all of the memories, but like not well or something. Because she is having, the clones are having flashbacks.
I thought they were linking to each other.
Could be that.
I don't know. And like,
it's also
doing like a Kazaa kind of thing.
It's also incredibly stupid because they have no way to tell what, like, even if she fails and it's like, okay, that means it's not a match. Okay. You can test for exact match, right? But they have no way to tell like what gene is affecting what trap. So like if it fails, they're just like, well, this isn't right. You know, they don't have any direction to go from there.
And also the original Alice. They're not iterating on ones who made it further. Apparently they've just got like 5,000 Alice clones and they made it random and like sending them through one after the other instead of making one, seeing how far it got.
Look,
and then, you know,
guys, there's science behind the scenes, okay?
Yeah, it's a genetic algorithm with a reward for how far they get in the thing. And they just, like, you know, they mix it up, put in some randomness, and go for the next round.
And then one of them fucking makes it through, and Dr. Isaacs just has a super zombie eat her.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Well, the real Alice would have beat him, too. I don't know.
It seems like that's what he was hoping.
Don't question Isaac's method.
Oh, and so Dr. Isaacs is attempting to make they're trying to docile up the zombies so they can use them as a cheap workforce for, I don't fucking know, I guess rebuilding the earth, except, again, once there's no fresh water and all the forests are gone, there's no life on earth anymore. Like, you might cling on for like 100 years or something, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, they showed the earth and it doesn't have water.
Except for in the oceans, but, you know, it's still, you need, like, forests and shit, you know?
Well, if it's going to turn into Mad Max, they won't even have those soon.
Yeah. But anyways, so they're like, we want this zombie workforce, and he does it for a little bit, but then he appears to get frustrated, so instead he makes these super zombies, and one of his subordinates comes up and he's like, you were supposed to make them useful, and Dr. Isaacs goes, aggression properly channeled can be very useful. It's like, your problem isn't that you don't have mean enough zombies, dude.
God.
Yeah,
I really thought that line was going to accompany him, like,
shooting him or something.
Like, releasing a zombie on that guy or trapping him with a zombie or whatever, but it kind of didn't happen.
So basically, just like that board member, we're also in the dark about what Dr. Isaacs was trying to do.
It seems like Dr. he just kind of wanted chaos, generally.
Kind of does. He just had a thing for injecting people and zombies, you know?
Let's be honest, though, guys. That's exactly what Rahul would do in that position.
It is not. I mean,
my counterpoint
is
I think Rahul wouldn't be as good at it as a zombie either.
You piece of shit. You're the first one I'm injecting.
Like, he'd be the Elon Musk of that position, where he would run it and he would have a bunch of terrible ideas, but somebody else would be doing all of the real work behind it.
Rahul just occasionally walks up to that guy and injects him with a random liquid.
Yeah, and then takes credit.
Okay, Gatorade didn't work.
What about piss?
What about Brondo?
Yeah, what about Brondo?
Okay. Anyways, I got one last thing. Ronald, if I tell the liquidate story, are you going to get mad?
No,
he's
going
to get pissed, okay, dude.
So Ronald goes in. He's watching this movie yesterday, and he comes in, and he texts in the group chat. He said he was going to liquidate the guy, and then he just shot him. What the hell? Shooting doesn't make the guy liquid. And then I'm like, Ronald, you fool. Liquidate just means kill in this context. And Ronald's like, well, he didn't kill him either. And then I went and watched the movie. Because he just shot him and he didn't die. But I mean, that it's not like he wasn't trying to kill the guy. It just didn't work. But anyways, I go and watch the movie, and the exact sequence is one of Dr. Isaac's like subordinates comes up to him and says, you violated Umbrella, blah, blah, blah. I sentence you to liquidation. And then Ian Glenn looks at him quizzically and goes, liquidation? And then he goes, just die, and shoots Ian Glenn. So you know what? I shouldn't have made fun of Ronald, because Ian Glenn also had some problems with what liquidation meant.
Yeah. That one was from the actor, not the script. He was genuinely confused about what we were talking about. Look, I was not confused. I made a stupid joke in the group chat because I said he's still a solid, and then Lawrence then immediately Googled,
obviously taking it literally,
like he was owning me, and then went on a rant about how I don't understand the definition of something.
Owned, you again, know? Ronald.
Yeah, owned again, and trying to retcon your way out of being owned. Shameful.
I honestly think that Isaacs could have just mutated himself and just with his tentacle power, he could have just roamed the earth and killed all the zombies.
What? There's like billions of zombies.
But
dude.
Right, he's immortal. Like... He's literally immortal.
So he's just like, okay, give me a million years and I can solve
what else does
problem.
He have to do?
He's got to inject people.
He is injecting them with his tentacles.
He doesn't want to wipe out the zombies. He wants to turn them into workers.
Or make them super ambiguous.
Well, if he makes them super, he still wants them to obey him.
Super workers.
All
right. Oh, I had another, like, I don't know if it's like a low point, but I realized this didn't come up later and it might have been interesting if it did. But Isaacs gets bit by one of the super zombies and so he turns into this crazy mutated guy. But all the people that were part of the convoy that got bit, like, wouldn't they have turned into the same thing when they were reanimated? Then we could have like had more Isaacs around in future movies.
I think the thing that does it is that he keeps injecting himself with the antidote.
Yeah. I thought that was possible, so that's fair.
I don't know.
I was like, bro, your antidote doesn't work? Haven't you already tried it?
Yeah, it just made that zombie, like, briefly know a cell phone and then get angry.
You just need, like, here's 10 gallons of it. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Here's what you guys got to understand. The T-virus does different things to different people at any given time.
It's almost as if it just functions on screenwriter convenience. It's kind of whatever you want.
Exactly. It's just bullshit all the way down. Oh, like, there's no...
I have a serious low point. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So Oliveira has been infected and he's about to suicide and he's really stoic and cool about it. And then Alice kisses him, like full on mouth kiss. And I'm like, was that like a romantic kiss or?
Yeah.
Okay. It was a romantic kiss, but there was never anything between them ever.
In the second movie, I think.
There's a little bit of implied spark in the second movie.
A little implication.
Okay. And also, they did travel around for a few months between the second and third movie before Alice realized that Umbrella was tracking her with their psychic satellites or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Because he asked, like, why'd you leave us?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. All right.
Now,
you're right that they didn't.
They should have kissed before, you know? But look, okay.
They should have had a hardcore fuck fest that showed the whole thing.
Like, in a good movie, they would have like built up some nice romantic tension between the two of them, which would have culminated in a sweet moment right before he died. In this movie, they just slightly imply that maybe they fucked once, and that's it.
And half the viewers are like, wait, where did that come from?
my counterpoint is that I don't think there's anything in this movie to suggest that they could have written a good romance, so it probably is better this way.
Honestly, I think you're right. I think you're right. That's as delicate as they could have done it.
Now I have a serious low point, which is that right before he kills himself, Oded Fehr, there's this whole runner at the start where they're all like trying to get cigarettes and stuff, and everyone's out. And then as the car is tripped over and he's about to die, Oded Fehr finds a joint in the car and starts smoking it before blowing everything up. And you know what? Drugs are bad. He shouldn't have done that.
Yep, that's why he died, actually.
Should have been thinking about his future health.
That's why he died.
That's what happens when you smoke marijuana.
Was that a marijuana cigarette?
So I disapprove very heartily of drug use, and it's good that he died.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I have a low point that is in common with all of the movies.
Dear God, you guys are the two that said that you liked
the movie. I know, bro. You're like, so this is amazing. You've easily had the most low points.
I love it because it's stupid and bad. That's the difference. That's what you guys will
never understand. I've already calculated every possible outcome of this movie.
And they're all terrible, and I love them all.
All right.
Okay. Sorry,
Zombies. Yeah. Okay. In addition to the annoyingly choppy action, you know, like Alice jumps off of something and then it shows a clip of her boots landing in the dirt. So irritating. But in addition to that, the zombies do this
thing. I mean,
thing.
It also, it was pretty sexy too, though. I mean, I love a woman in a boot.
Just one.
Yeah, combat boots and a cocktail drink.
It's a single booted woman.
And when it stomps, like, and I can imagine that, you know, my nuts were under there. It's very good.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're not ready, Raul. Ask me in a year and I'll tell you.
Google CBT later.
Yeah. Not CBD.
Zombies do this far too often, where they just jump in your face and scream at you rather than just fucking biting you, you know? And I know why they do it, because it's scarier and they add a little sound. It's just fucking annoying. It breaks the whole zombie thing for me.
Yeah, like they had a really bad like offense in that sense with Oliveira, where he like was crawling into the car and he like can't get purchase because of the sand. He can't quite reach his gun, but the zombies also don't have enough like force to pull him. And he finally gets his gun and he shoots the two zombies holding him. And then like a zombie comes right at his face and just screams at him. And yeah. Then he's fine.
It's like, what? Okay.
It's a good thing you didn't do anything else.
It's one of them screamer zombies, you know, they're scary, but harmless.
But they have no teeth. So they just scream at you.
They hope that the T-virus turns into an aerosol again, like it did that one time. In the first, God damn it, you guys laugh. It was in the first movie.
Yeah, it was, like, in the first, like, I was telling Lawrence, I texted Lawrence this, but it's like, in the first movie, or I think how I phrased this is like, the virgin first movie is like, oh no, T-virus is in the air and it killed an entire building full of people. It's so dangerous. And in the Chad, this movie, it was like, oh, infected blood splattered directly on kids' faces in the back of the school bus. That's hilarious. Why is no one concerned about that anymore?
I don't know.
Why does the T-virus not go in the air anymore? I don't know either.
It also really seems like more people should be commenting about, again, everything on Earth is dead or going to die within the next 50 years, you know? That seems like it's worth
it. I mean, Umbrella seems to have it all figured out. They got a plan.
Yeah, they're going to get something going.
They didn't even care that Isaac's whole lab is like wiped out and nothing came of his research. They're like, yeah, that was just whatever.
We'll move it to the other lab. It's fine. I'm taking over this project personally. And it's like, oh, I guess Wesker knows about bioengineering.
Great. I love that Wesker's like, I expect results in a month. Meeting adjourned.
And it's like, do you do anything around here?
He wears sunglasses and he looks cool.
Doesn't at some point he take off the sunglasses and there's just like tentacles under there or something?
I think it's red eyes.
That's red
like
eyes.
The Terminator.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not as cool.
His tentacles come out of his mouth.
I don't know. Tentacles are pretty lame, too.
I mean, in this movie, at least, the tentacles do kind of suck.
Yeah.
They look Isaac's really bad. In the final fight, and the CGI just was not there, man.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's get to, I guess, parting shots. Anyone got anything? I think I've talked at more length than this movie deserves.
No, but yeah. I look forward to the next installment.
Oh, the next one is where it starts really sucking, and I don't think even in a fun way.
I honestly can't believe there's three more.
I'm so depressed.
You mean plot-wise or what?
I just, the fact that we have to watch three more of them.
Hey, Ronald, would it make you feel better if I told you in the fifth one they bring back literally every single fucking character who's died at any point in any of these movies?
Which is my number one complaint about all of them. That's the cheapest tactic, but whatever.
I actually think it's either the next one or the fifth movie that has my favorite scene from the series, which is just in a giant white room and they're throwing sunglasses at each other.
That's the next one. That's the final fight with Wesker. He just keeps hucking his sunglasses and it's like, don't you have guns, idiot? Yeah. I think he legitimately
it's not
loses.
A good strategy.
I think he legitimately loses the fight because he uses sunglasses instead of guns or tentacles.
Why? And it's in a battleship, but it's a giant room with white floors, white ceiling, and white walls. Like, well, who designed this?
Umbrella, maybe.
Well, Well, you see, that's what they need to have a room like that in every battleship in case Professor Xavier visits and they have to set up Cerebro real quick.
Good point, actually.
Anyways, okay, you guys, anyone else got a final parting shot?
I don't.
I have nothing else to say.
No.
Okay, let's do some fucking YouTube roulette. So I've modified this a little bit. So we open it on our phones, right? Because then you get, and go to the home screen, because then you get the real, you know, deep shit.
Okay.
And then we read the top three videos, and then we argue whose was the most embarrassing.
All right.
Okay, so I'll go first since I got mine out.
All right.
Whip it out. Let's see it.
So the first one is cursing out the court equals huge contempt. Bond revoked, go get him, boys, which is from old Squishy Gardner's Court Watch, and is apparently just a guy who swears at a judge over Zoom and then gets arrested or whatever.
That does sound like something you would watch.
And then the next one is a Cumtown bit, Nick's Thoughts on the Joker by Steven Seagal. And finally, I've got She's Running to Her Baby, Alex Murdaugh Shot Maggie as She Rushed. I can't see the rest from Long Crime Network. So two court videos, one laughing at the dumb hick, one kind of making content out of a murder, and then a Cumtown video. Ronald, what do you got for us?
All right. I got $100 knockoff versus $550 steel chainsaw. Let's settle this. Horsepower, horsepower, cutting speed, cold start, RPM.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The second one is Timothy versus Robert, the epic battle from The King, Netflix. I haven't seen that one, but yeah, I think it's from a movie called The King on the Netflix, and it's Robert Pattinson versus Timothée Chalamet. And the last one is, what if the events of Oblivion never happened? Alternate history, Elder Scrolls. It's Elder Scrolls lore, alternate history. That's
nice.
That's a deep cut.
Okay. All right, Brandon, do you want to go?
Sure. I got Diablo 4 best sorcerer build, True Infinite Unstable Currents from
Nice, that's very fitting.
Rage Gaming Videos. And this is a thing from Zizaran. I don't think this is a video, though. Then I got Truth About Hot Girls Problem in College Sports Breaking Points.
Okay.
It was like a news show.
Okay, let's watch that.
That is a video I would never imagine Brandon watching.
Apparently Brandon watches a million of them.
So
he loves college sports, man. Yeah,
that's what he loves.
And hot girls, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then I have Healthy at Every Size hyphen bullshit from some channel I've never watched called Renaissance Periodization.
It looks like you're getting served like two different alt-right things, at least.
No, Renaissance Periodization is not alt-right.
Breaking Points is not alt-right. But yeah.
Renaissance Periodization is just like a super science-y workout channel.
Okay.
Well, we all know how much Brandon likes fitness.
Yeah. Yep. Probably Rahul stole his phone.
Yeah.
And radicalized
him. Rahul's like, you got to see this video, bro.
That's a good channel, man. I think it's a good channel.
Okay.
You know, y'all coming on my up in here talking shit about Renaissance Periodization, you know, like.
Well, it's a very fatphobic title. Let's be honest. I mean,
the other one seemed like it was pretty on the bubble about which way it was going to come down on the hot girls in sports, too.
Yeah, you like those bubbles, don't you?
Yep. Nothing hotter than a bubbly woman. Smoking a hookah, having an effervescent personality.
Whoa, a hookah. Know. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if Lawrence would be down for hookah smoking.
I did actually once go to a hookah lounge, and it was the most bored I have ever been.
Would you smoke hookah?
No.
He smoked. Well, there you go. He smoked something else.
You just sat there. You basically just said you went somewhere and you sat down for a while.
Well, my friends had a good time, and I wish. I think I went out to my car for a while and read a Clark Ashton Smith short story.
You don't go to a hookah lounge like for the experience. You go for the socialization.
Yeah, but I hate
smoke at home.
Most humans. So,
why'd you go there?
Because Taylor wanted to go, dude.
I don't really blame the hookah.
Ronald
for that
is
one.
Fucking destroying you right now.
Did I ever tell you guys about the time I went to a rave?
Yes, no. You did, and you read a D&D book in the rave the whole time.
Fact check, it was not a D&D book. It was a White Wolf book about sexy Frankensteins called Promethean the Creation.
And I'm like, how did you even read in that venue? You know, like...
That's one of my main complaints about it. The flashing lights made reading very hard.
It's like it slows it down because you can only read a
Dude,
word.
If I saw someone at a rave, and you probably weren't at a rave, right? You were just at like a...
It was a rave my college
probably
had
at a disco.
At
you know,
they called it a rave. I don't
disco?
Probably
a
disco.
All right, like now it's base. Now you sound. Now you sound.
There's
like
probably
the
a flickering
one.
Lamp that you can.
Are you 80 years old?
you were going down to the jazz club and doing some heckling, Lawrence. That's what really happened. Meeting some Hepcats and playing the bongos.
Yeah, the trombone probably got you confused.
All right, let's hear Rahul.
Yeah, what nonsense.
It's all probably like Russian lifting videos.
No, I wish. All right, first one is, this is not meth animation from...
What? I
don't know what channel this is. Marimomo Morimo. Second one is, this truly...
Is it a Breaking Bad thing?
Huh?
It's a Breaking Bad thing, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Because he says like this.
Oh my god, you're
meth.
Right. Is that must be... The... You corrupted my algorithm.
It probably because I see that Breaking Bad,
which was actually pretty good. I enjoyed it.
I want more Baki Breaking
I do too,
Bad.
Yeah. Okay, so right. So YouTube is actually doing a good. Right.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
All right. What's the next
YouTube
one?
YouTube do good.
YouTube do good.
Second one is, this truly is food porn, and it's all these chicken breasts.
It's the chick fucking a fucking drumstick.
It's all these chicken breasts cut into like vaginas.
What?
Oh god.
Oh, I was much closer than I should
you
have
were.
Been.
Yeah,
you
really were.
Disturbingly close. And number three all is right. That thing YouTubers do when they want to sound smart.
Great.
All my videos are like in the 30-second range.
That sounds right, yeah.
YouTube's like, he's gonna turn it off after 30 seconds anyways. Let's just optimize this shit. Okay, so who do we think had the most embarrassing one?
Ronald, for sure.
Rahul had one that was
about
actual food porn.
What's the chicken one now?
Apparently has
chicken cut into
views,
vaginas,
you know,
or something.
Crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot of perverts out there, Ronald or Rahul, and you're one of them.
Now, is that embarrassing or is it Elder Scrolls Alternate History?
Hold up, I had the boggy. Oh, yeah, the Alternate History. Oosh.
Yeah. mine, I'm going to make a little bit of a play for mine because the way I got that YouTube recommendation is extremely shameful of just like binging trials while I'm out running.
You know, I think that what you do is really weird, but the video recommendations that you got from it are kind of normie.
That's fair. So you got the wrong result, or you got the right result using the wrong equation, kind
of. Yeah.
Okay,
like, if it was like a bunch of weird conspiracy videos on how what's his name was innocent,
Daryl Brooks. I have actually tried to find the argument that he's innocent, and no one, the internet refuses to show it to me. I just want to know what that looks like because he's on video running over several people,
and he admits to it in court.
Kind of, yeah.
He just claims that the state of Texas wasn't in court to back up its claims.
Tennessee. Or no, Wisconsin.
Okay,
yeah, he
whatever,
tried to...
Whatever the
Brandon,
state
is. I should... A little bit of background for you, Brandon. I've been watching this trial of this guy named Daryl Brooks, who ran through a parade in 2020 and killed 6 people and injured like 70 other people.
No piece of shit.
Yeah, and in court, he represented himself and then started trying to do sovereign citizen and jury nullification tactics, which is very weird in a case where you're going to get locked up for the rest of your life, you know? So he's like trying to call the state of Wisconsin or like...
Because his interpretation is like the state of the Wisconsin is the one pressing charges. So they need to come up here to defend the charges that they're like saying. And he keeps asking all the witnesses, do you know the state of Wisconsin? And they're like,
have you ever seen the state of Wisconsin?
Here's the face of my accuser.
Yeah,
fit for trial.
Yes. No, I mean, kind of. I mean, he wasn't, to be unfit for trial, you have to be like insane in a way where you can't understand, like perceive reality. Not like you have a weird idea of what's going on, but like you actually like kind of.
Okay. He's just trying to force his idea.
Yeah. But I mean, he was legit. He was about to get locked up forever. And he was legitimately trying to argue that he was in a naval court because of the fringe on the flag. You know, that shit. Anyways.
Classic sovereign citizen stuff.
Yeah.
They don't understand the law and they think they have like weird hacks around it.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to give it to Ronald. Anyone else? Anyone disagreeing? I think the Chainsaw review is weird and the alternate Elder Scrolls history is insane.
Wait, why is that insane? I actually don't. I don't know anything about
because that. It's a fiction. Why are you constructing an alternate history for a fictional video game that isn't really known for its deep lore? And I mean, it's got deep lore, but most of the thing most people like about Elder Scrolls games is just fucking around, you know?
That's where you're wrong, pal, because I watch a bunch of Elder Scrolls lore videos. I can't even claim that the algorithm got me on that one. I legitimately do watch Elder Scrolls lore videos.
But you watch alternate history ones where it's like, I mean,
I haven't watched that one yet.
Know, that sounds like kind of like a fun.
That's kind of interesting.
The alternate history of most Elder Scrolls playthroughs is what if I majored in destruction instead of conjuration, though?
Well, it's talking about the history of the continent, not.
He's talking about the history.
Not, it's not talking about the playthrough. Not the history of the
playthrough, Lawrence. That's what you sound like, Ronald.
All right.
Just bullying. Just rank bullying.
Look. Brandon had one about hot girls.
Is that like that? That's just the only thing you guys heard from the title.
Yeah.
You have some hot girls video.
You watching like hot girls in college sports?
No, you know, I actually know what that is. Which is so there was an article that came out about the hot girl problem in like college athletics, which is that attractive women appear to do better or like end up placed more on college teams. And the theory is it's because it helps with like, you know, spot, you know, like people coming to games and shit. And then people were pushing back on it because it's like, well, these women are still like superb athletes. And I mean, achieving that level of physical fitness does often make someone really attractive too. So, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's a whole quagmire, but that's what that thing's talking about.
It's correlation, not causation.
Maybe, but it also, if you were like, hey, they deliberately put hot chicks on these teams because then people will come out to see them, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds like something someone would do too. You know?
Yeah, it's like, it's possible.
I mean, I'm pretty hot and I was on the swim team and, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I was kind of a badass and no one did anything with that. You know, buddy, I just kind of languished.
Is there something you wanted to
my athletic career languished.
Total
no one noticed me, you know,
your middle school swim team coach.
So hot and so good, you know, so I think that puts a hole in this theory.
Okay, you know what? I'm giving it to Rahul because food vagina. There we go. Anyone want to argue with that one? Fuck, I don't know.
That one's hard to argue.
It's hard to argue.
You know, if he hadn't told us that detail, I would have just been like, oh, whatever. That sounds.
I don't know. I mean, that was what made the video, right?
If you're just like ultimate food porn and then didn't tell us the details, we're gonna assume it's just like, you know, a picture of a really good cake or something.
Yeah, exactly. But then he said it was chicken cut in the vagina,
which also kind of implies that he's watched that video.
No, what?
Or watched something similar. He has
Yeah, that not one. That one. Come on. I'm saving that one for later, dude.
You know, it's weird because YouTube doesn't have porn, but you could masturbate to it. It's just you have to have an odd fetish. It's the rare porn site that doesn't cater to
how is that? How is that weird for you?
Well, that's true of like basically any website.
Anyways, okay.
Anyway, let's
move on.
Let's change the subject.
Rahul, congratulations. You broke your YouTube algorithm the worst.
Sweet. What do I get?
Yeah. Shame.
Damn it.
You get shame.
I already have so much of that.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
I don't think you feel shame or guilt, Raul. That's like an honest assessment of
no,
my, like you.
I mean, yes,
having
I
it
do
and feeling it might be different.
I guess he could have it in the sense that any objective person observing his life would be like, that's pretty shameful, but he certainly doesn't like experience
that. I have tons of shame. It's overwhelming.
Is shame that feeling that feels kind of good and bubbles up in your gut and you see something yummy? Because if so, Rahul feels that a lot.
You can't do that.
You can't say that.
You can't do that.
Anyway, let's let's get the recommendations and cautions. This has got even further off the rail than it's normal for us.
Ronald's fucking cheating. He's cheating over here.
I'm cheating? You know, I was helping you out, man.
Paradoxically, cheating, something that might cause Ronald a little guilt and wouldn't bother Rahul at all.
How is that a paradox?
He's got a point.
Where's the paradox? Yeah.
The paradox
What's the paradox?
The paradox is that you shouldn't think about it too much.
The paradox is that I said it was a paradox and it isn't.
And you idiots believed him.
No, that's good, actually. That's really good.
Anyways, recommendations.
Good is one, as good as one word for
them. Paradoxical is another.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do recommendations and cautions.
Yeah. Okay, Ronald, you go first.
All right. Okay. This week I've got two recommendations and no cautions. So the first recommendation I have, it's a little HBO show called The Other Two. Season three just dropped. I think it's really funny. It's a comedy, and it's basically, the premise is these. I don't know if I've recommended it on this show before. Maybe I recommended the earlier seasons, but. The premise is that these two siblings who are in the acting industry have been for a long time. They're like in their 30s. Their younger brother, who's like 15, becomes a pop star kind of out of nowhere, like Justin Bieber level, incredibly famous pop star. And the whole movie is them like trying to ride his coattails to fame. They're very shameless. They're really greedy and only think about themselves, and it's very funny. It stars Drew Tarver, who is really hilarious, and I actually got to see him live at an improv show like a year or two ago. He's really good. And also has Molly Shannon and fucking Ken Marino, who I really love. If you know Ken Marino, he's Don Ronald from Party Down.
And he's also guest starred on basically every good or even mediocre sitcom for the last like 15 years.
Yeah, he is just like, it's hard. You have to kind of get on his wavelength, but I feel like once you do, he is like one of the funniest character actors I've ever seen. Like, he's so good. Yeah, so highly recommend the other two, the newest season. I think season three just dropped. So it's quite good. And then my other recommendation is a movie called Operation Avalanche. Now, this is directed by Matt Johnson. I think I've recommended Nirvana the Band the Show on this podcast before. I love that show, and it's also starring him and made by him. This is also starring him and made by him. So the premise of this show is that in the 60s, it's like a couple of CIA agents try to convince their bosses to put them into NASA to like cover or to like find out if there's a Russian mole there. And when they do, they find out, essentially, they don't find out the mole, but they find out that NASA's not going to be able to make it to the moon. And so the Matt Johnson's character, who is actually named Matt Johnson, and it's like an alternate history thing in the movie, it basically fakes the moon landing. And it's a shockingly good movie. There's one of the best car chase sequences I've ever seen in a movie, in this movie, which you wouldn't expect because it's kind of a comedy partly. It's quite good. And he just released a new movie that I really want to see, Blackberry, which is why I watched this one. So, check out Operation Avalanche. That's it for me.
Hell yeah. I'm going to go next, if that's cool with you guys. Or not. I don't actually care that much. It's called, my recommendation is a show called Primal. This is an animated show made by Jendy Tartakovsky, who made that really awesome Clone Wars cartoon, and also, for some reason, Dexter's Laboratory.
And Samurai Jack.
Yeah, and that current one on HBO that's like Eternals Unicorn or something. That one is also weirdly good, but that's not what I'm recommending. This is about a caveman who teams up with a small Tyrannosaurus Rex to kind of try to survive like this sort of nightmare prehistory where like basically every kind of monster you can imagine exists in some fashion. And also there's like magic and like Hulk juice and just anything that Jendy Tartakovsky at one point thought was cool ends up in here. It is a wild show. There's no spoken dialogue at all for most episodes. And even eventually when some characters do start talking, you're not supposed to understand what they say at all. The action in it is like beautiful and the animation is so fluid. The monster design is absolutely wild. And it is weird how much like emotion the show can pull out when it decides it wants to, especially considering that, like, again, no one on this show talks. The thing it reminded me more than anything else is if Robert E. Howard had for some reason written some short stories set in prehistory, I bet this is about what you'd end up with. The main caveman is pretty similar to how he wrote Conan, for instance, although a little stupider than Conan was. And then my caution, although this is a very, very light caution, is this novel Bone White by Ronald Malfi. The basic plot is that a guy, his brother went missing in Alaska, and then someone in a small Alaskan town called Dread's Hand confesses to having killed and buried six people. And so the guy goes up to try to see if one of those six people is his brother. And then he ends up investigating the town of Dread's Hand, which has a uniquely sinister history. And there's all this weird shit happening in the woods. And when it decides to be scary and like actually have like scary stuff happen, it's pretty good. In particular, there's this scene where the serial killer is like in a jail and a guy has to go check on him. And the guy who's checking on him starts seeing shit that's really, really freaky. But a lot of it is just the brother kind of wandering around Dread's Hand, like seeing vaguely spooky or hostile like neighbors. And that part, I think it would be good if you were into more subtle horror, but I found it kind of boring. So I don't know. I guess maybe check it out if you want like a slower pace, like more creepy, less go for your throat style horror, but I wasn't digging on it. So I don't know, maybe give it a pass. Anyways, that's it for me. Brandon?
I don't have any recommendations or cautions.
Powerful. Bold. Brandon feels that you should be able to live your own life free of his influence.
Actually, here, I'll give a Raoul level recommendation of I watched 30 minutes of WALL-E and it's very good so far. So watch that.
Yeah.
I hope you're gonna do a Raoul and finish it up within the next 6 months.
It's fucking good.
Yeah, anyway. I might finish it by the next podcast, but might not.
Actually, I know Raoul would be coming back and say that the second half sucked and he cautions against it.
Yeah, that always sucks when that happens.
Well, recommend or caution against Diablo 4. You have a lot of experience in that.
I mean, I'd say caution, but it really depends on what you are expecting. Like, I'll say that I'm more of a Diablo 2 than a Diablo 3 player. So if you know what that means, then yeah, like Diablo 2 players were kind of not expected to like it. But I think that the things I dislike are that I so far mostly played Necromancer, which is easily the slowest class. And it also seems like it doesn't do a lot of damage unless you want to go into this build, like Bone Spirit. That's really weird. I don't like it. And Blizzard just keeps like nerfing dungeon density. It's like anytime someone finds a dungeon, like, oh, there's a bunch of elites here. It's like so fun to like go and blow up all this shit. There's like, oh yeah, nerfed. So now the only dungeons that are left are like, there's a bunch of walking and backtracking. There's barely any stuff to kill. So it takes forever and you don't get a lot out of it. So the story is kind of a mixed bag. If you're into like Diablo lore, like there's some good parts, but there's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense. And like, yeah, I talked to Justin a little bit about it. He hasn't gotten to the end, but yeah, it's kind of disappointing. But the visuals are very good. Obviously, Blizzard cinematics are always good. So yeah, I guess it's a caution.
Is there an auction house? Is that the reason? Is there
No. There's very there's limited trading. It's kind of complicated to explain, but there is non-zero amounts of trading, but like remains to be seen how useful it is.
Okay.
I don't know. I thought it was like interesting that they were trying to split the baby between Diablo 2 and Diablo 3, but ultimately it's just like kind of mindless, you know?
Well, they didn't do that at all. I don't think there's anything from Diablo 2, unless you want to say that like the fact that it's darker than Diablo 3.
The sorceress has that thing that happened in later Diablo 2 builds where like points you put into skills you didn't have slotted would give you passive bonuses at least. And then you can put point, there's like more sort of build variety in it than there was in Diablo 2, or in Diablo 3, I feel.
Yeah, I can't really speak about 3.
I actually quite liked 3, weirdly, but mostly because I played it on consoles, where it turns into an entirely different game. Because they added this whole dog mechanic and then kind of built the game from the ground up around the idea that you'd essentially have iframes, which didn't exist on PC at all.
Interesting.
Weird.
I don't know. If you really hate Diablo 3 on PC, maybe pick it up for super cheap on a console and give it a whirl. It works a lot better as like action-y, even more action-y. I don't know. Whatever.
All right, Rahul.
Stop the podcast dead. I did. Rahul, go for it.
No, that was kind of.
No, yeah, that was interesting. But I mean,
honestly, it was like I couldn't even make fun of it because it was so good.
That's what we want on our comedy depth of podcast. Knowledge was
extremely, extremely.
Yeah, our comedy podcast about old time radio should have in depth comparisons of Diablo 2 and Diablo 3.
Wait, were we? Is this a comedy?
Why not?
What? I thought this was just a recap.
Not really funny. Yeah, not really informative. It's
the funny part.
The funny part is when we turn off because everyone's like, thank God, Rahul, shut up finally.
The funny part is when I bully Rahul.
I thought we were trying to give the listener a bad time, hence the bad time radio. I don't know.
You know, we need to have a meeting about the aims of this podcast offline, I guess, because apparently we've been trying to do very different things.
No, I think we're all on the same
page. Which might explain our poor listener numbers.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it really matters whether we do it on or off because no one's listening.
Anyways, okay. Recommend Cosby.
I'm
going to
recommend a little movie called The Sum of All Fears. I'm about halfway through.
Finish a fucking movie for once in your fucking life. The only movies you finish are the ones we make you watch for this podcast. And honestly, a lot of the time, I don't think you finish those.
He's recommending a movie that I already recommended
to. Dude, it's so good. It's
beautiful
so
good stuff, man.
Like, they maintained an atmosphere through, and you know,
at least half the movie.
At least half the movie. And they don't like give too much away. And I feel like the movie has not pulled its punches at all. Like, I feel like most movies, because this movie concerns a nuke being snuck into America to set off a nuclear war. And they actually set the nuke off in the movie. I feel like I was expecting them to find the nuke. I was like, holy shit.
It's a shocking moment.
Yes, it really was. Like, I don't, like, outside of, like, Terminator.
You just spoiled it for anyone who was going to watch it. Which I intentionally did not do that.
Well, I don't know. I assumed everybody had seen The Sum of All Fears. I mean,
you're recommending it.
You're recommending it.
The great thing about Rahul's reviews, though, is even if he wanted to, he could only spoil the first half.
True. That's maybe a good strategy, then.
All right, sorry. Maybe just cut that part.
Cut it. Fix it in post, people.
Was it you having a coughing fit or snorting? Because if not, I'm not cutting it. Or me getting something wrong. I cut those.
Well, yeah, thank God.
You've earned that privilege by doing the editing. Yeah.
That's why the audience has no idea about my racist book.
Are you serious? That's the best part of you.
Yeah, anyways, keep going.
We're going to cut that.
Yeah. From now on, we'll just have to sprinkle that in like every other sentence so it's impossible to cut.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, hey, Lord, racist book.
Have you got psychic powers yet, or have you not been reading your racist book enough? It's a book that teaches you how to have psychic powers, but also says, it's got this page where they're like a picture of a monkey and then a picture of a person that the monkey reminded the guy of. Which he takes in a very racial direction very quickly.
Oh my God.
And also, most of it is just the monkey and the person have kind of similar facial hair, which he does not appear to have known how facial hair works.
Okay, so that's Lawrence's recommendation. Mine's a little off fears.
Okay.
And I don't have a caution.
Okay. I have a plug, but Rahul, you might also have one. I'm going to go first because mine's kind of serious.
Okay.
Okay, there's this metal band called Unleash the Archers. They're like kind of new wave of British heavy metal slash power metal, that thing. They're okay. I don't know. But they have this one song where it's a cover of a Canadian folk song called Northwest Passage. And it's somehow the most transcendently beautiful thing I've ever heard. So go look up like Unleash the Archers singing Northwest Passage. You'll have a good time. Anyways, Raul.
Hold up. I need to review this song really quick.
Review the song that Lawrence has recommended on air.
Okay, I'll do it, well, I'll do it
where,
next time.
Where are you going to review it? Like, what? Just YouTube? Write a bad comment? What are you saying?
I think he just means he's going to listen to it.
Okay, which, fair enough.
Which seems like might take a little bit of time considering it's a full yeah, ass song.
It's 4 minutes and it gets good at about the minute 30 because the drums hit.
Mm. Anyway, I'm going to plug a site for a legit cult called 5D Full Disclosure.
Okay.
You go to this fucking website and you click around and the shit is just so crazy. I'm going to read you an excerpt from the About Mom page where
About Mom.
Yeah, About Mom. This is it used to be
Holy shit, it's
Are
there.
They worshiping Lilith?
It's just so crazy. Like,
you know, this is actually a surprisingly well-designed website,
it's
weirdly.
It's a good website, yep.
What's the website called again?
5dfulldisclosure.org. And then click.
We're going to give it more traffic than it's had in months.
I think it probably has a lot of traffic. Because they were famous for some reasons. They got like kicked out of Hawaii because mom claimed she was Kailua or something.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. She died under like mysterious circumstances, like of alcoholism and stuff, and like they were like giving her like colloidal silver to save her, and you know, just
oh, is she the one that turned blue?
Yeah.
No, that's a senator. Well, she might have turned blue too.
This one, yes. Yeah, but it's kind of amazing. I don't know. It's just like entering another world. So I'm gonna read this little. I don't even know what to make of it. Anyway. By 2014, I was awaiting and preparing for a mass ascension. In August, I received a vision of two red snakes coming out, kundalini, out of my heart, up through my throat, and up and out of my pineal gland and third eye. As this occurred, I saw only gold. Shortly after this vision, Cryon comes back and says to me, we had a situation on the planet, everyone over the age of 15, most likely as implants, they have stopped the natural evolutionary process, and we need to get going on this right away. Then he trained me for about 2 hours about how to remove implants from humanity.
Hell yeah.
My first galactic surgical team was Master Saint Germain and Cryon. This has now expanded. As this
Wait,
was going
Master
on for me.
Saint Germain?
Master Saint Germain.
Do you know who that is?
No, I have no idea that.
There was this really weird con artist in like 17th, 18th century France named the Comte Germain who claimed to be immortal. And that's just a guy pretending to be that dude.
No, they're just taking it on a con artist on the galactic surgical. That's crazy.
Yeah. And the great thing is that anyone, you can just, you're like, hey, I'm him still because we're immortal.
As this was going on for me, Robin Williams dies. The day he died, we did not have internet, and so we were searching for a Wi-Fi spot. 8 hours later, we get a signal. The computer takes us directly to see Robin had died, and then we lost the signal. 20
what?
Minutes later, Robin is standing in my bedroom. He was wearing a khaki and khaki pants with his hands in his pockets, rocking back and forth. He told me he had been murdered.
What the fuck?
We had a brief conversation about his movies, and then he asked me for the records of the mission.
What?
We have 10 years worth of documentation. I gave him full permission, and he came back to me 2 hours later saying he would like to be part of the team. I said, that is awesome, Robin, but you just left your body. Aren't there things you need to be doing? He said, oh, yes, right. He left, came back 3 days later, and has been here ever since. Robin is a master surgeon from the other side. Now
she included the part where she told him to go finish what you got to do first.
I like the part where she saw a ghost, so she briefly asked him about his movies. She's like, what was it like to film Jack?
Remember that part where he farted in the bucket? Classic.
Now he has gathered an entire galactic A-team to support us all. He's also a personal guide
alongside
Master
Saint Germain.
All of creation is here.
This whole operation.
Together we will be taking back our planet. It's beautiful.
You know what? Power to you, Ghost Robin Williams, and your A-team. Someone's got to take our planet back. Might as well be the voice of the genie.
This shit is so crazy, man. I can't even handle it. You guys should all follow them. like and subscribe.
I found the author page for the children's book they wrote, and I was going to read that, but you know what? Nowhere near as crazy.
Children's book? Oh, yeah. Man, that thing must be wild.
Go to their shop page, man.
You have a shop?
Oh, and they also offer to sell you 13D plasma. Unclear if it's blood or energy. They have a plasma magic guide, how to make plasma water, and introduction to plasma plus GANs.
Nice.
I don't like
that. Yep. And then they've got a gallery of plasma, I guess, which appears to mostly be kind of glass triangles.
Sweet.
Gallery of plasma.
That's what I look for
got
in my
a gallon.
Yeah, got a gallon.
Anyways, I guess from all of us at Bad Time Radio, first off, 5D full disclosure, 100% true, our stamp of approval. Second, do not worship Satan. It is bad for you. Signing off.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag, or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, I've got